My name is Artie Innes. My background is I owned and managed a care home for many years, and in recent times I've been doing other things, mainly self-employment and even busking and selling The Big Issue. I've done all sorts.
Okay, so the care home, where was that? How big was it?
It was a small care home in Gloucestershire.
So what happened with the care home? What made you sort of drop that? Or
Divorce.
Okay.
Least said about that, the better.
Okay, but you've got yourself rather aerated about the whole situation with COVID. In fact, been out on the streets here in Bristol talking about it. So what was it that, you know, made you decide to jump on that particular bandwagon? Why not something else? Why COVID?
Well, generally, I'm not a particularly political person. I don't get involved with causes generally. But in recent times, I've found myself becoming increasingly sort of agitated and motivated by my conscience, I guess, to speak out. And I'm totally outside my comfort zone when I'm on the street with my megaphone speaking about COVID-19 and vaccines and, how free speech has been reduced and increasingly taken away from us.
So what was the moment that where you decided, crikey, I'm going to have to do something about this, I'm going to go out and get myself a megaphone? I mean, that's quite a big step to take, isn't it?
Yeah, especially for me. I mean, I'm totally outside my comfort zone. That's not me at all. I've never done anything like that before in my life. I don't stand up in... I don't like being the centre of attention or anything. It's not about that for me. It's about my conscience compelling me to speak out because I feel so strongly about what's happening, and I believe it's really, really sinister what's happening to the world.
So trying to pin you down here. What was that moment that you realised, crikey, I'm going to have to do something here?
I guess, to be honest with you, about 5 or 6 months ago, it was something unrelated to COVID-19. Actually, I was living in a community here in Bristol called Emmaus, and I wore a T-shirt that said "All Lives Matter," and I was told to stop wearing the T-shirt because it was offensive and bordering on the racist. And I totally disagreed with that, and because all my life I've fought for justice and equality, and and I strongly felt that saying "All Lives Matter" was much more unifying and likely to bring people together than the Black Lives Matter slogan.
So, well, hang on, but surely "All Lives Matter" is actually an anti-Black Lives Matter slogan.
I don't believe that at all. I believe that Black Lives Matter is actually an organisation which has been created to divide people. If you look at who funds Black Lives Matter, it's the elites of this world, and they're all about dividing us.
So what happened at the care home? Did you take off the T-shirt, throw it in the bin?
Well, to be honest with you, initially I took it off and I said, all right, I won't wear it, because I didn't want to be homeless. But then I felt ashamed. I felt so ashamed. I said, I am going to wear the T-shirt. And when they saw me wearing it again, they evicted me. I was put on the street. I'm 55 years old. I was put on the street here in Bristol, where I lived on the street for 11 or 12 weeks. And then I got into selling the Big Issue.
So this was like June last year, so at least it wasn't too freezing cold.
I was actually given the eviction notice in the August, and I was evicted in the September.
Did you have any kind of appeal that because you've worn this particular T-shirt, that wasn't a reasonable excuse to throw you on the street?
No, because it was a community, and I'd signed some the contract of residence, or whatever you call it. It said they have the right to basically throw out anyone they want to for any reason. There is an appeal process, but essentially, if they want you out, they'll put you out. So
you didn't bother with the appeal, thinking that really this is they'll be deciding this themselves, that sort of thing, is it?
I kind of appealed unofficially. But I was basically told there's no point in me appealing. So, and I didn't want to be somewhere where I wasn't wanted. So I left, and the council said I'd made myself intentionally homeless because I'd said I'd worn a T-shirt that was offensive. And, you know, I disagreed with that profoundly. And so I got virtually no help. I was left on the streets for 11 or 12 weeks. Now I'm in a hostel, and I'm quite happy at the moment. But while I was on the streets, I started selling The Big Issue. And it was while I was selling The Big Issue, I started to talk to people about what was happening in the world on the street. You know, Big Issue, so-and-so, you know, this is happening. And that's how it started. And that's then I went and got myself a megaphone so I could be heard. And then I started to get into trouble with The Big Issue.
You're not getting your news from the mainstream press or whatever. You're not getting it from the newspapers, the TV, the radio, getting it on the street.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of information from people on the street that I'm meeting. But I'm you know, I'm also someone who does my own research. I listen to not always the mainstream media, because I've realised for a long time that the mainstream media is controlled pretty much, and they report what they're told to report and say what they're told to say, basically. I know not all journalists are like that, and increasingly journalists are actually leaving the mainstream media because they are sick of it. So, yeah, I was out in the street talking, meeting people, getting a different perspective on things from people and the things I'm looking at online. And I tend to look at scientific-based arguments about what's happening in the world, you know, the COVID-19, the lockdowns, vaccines and what have you. And I start to see that what we're being told by the mainstream media is totally untrue. Initially, I was talking about how I believe that the Great Reset is actually the rolling out of a new system. And it's essentially the New World Order. They don't like to use that term now because it's got such a bad press. And I don't particularly like using it because it's got connotations of conspiracy theories and stuff.
But essentially, yeah, we do. Hang on. Okay, so we hear the Great Reset. That's all being rolled out through the World Economic Forum, Prince Charles, etc. Lots of people involved in that. Yeah. But what when you use the term New World Order, what do you mean?
A one world government, the world controlled by a few elites, who want to totally control mankind and control the whole system.
Well, of course, the World Economic Forum would say we want nothing like that. What we really want is we want a better financial system which isn't like capitalism and doesn't destroy the planet we're living on.
Well, they're bound to say that, aren't they? But I believe that they essentially want the world to be like China on steroids. Surveillance 24/7, facial recognition systems. They want us to accept technologies inside us, even. You're talking about passports, health health passports that will allow us to travel. You know, they want to track us and know what we're up to at every single minute of the day. It's really sinister.
You've got some echoes there with what's actually already going on in China with the social credit system, where if you, for example, you cross a zebra crossing where the lights are red, then you're being told, well, you're not allowed to travel on the trains in China, this sort of thing.
That's right. Christine Lagarde from the World Monetary Foundation, or the World Monetary she said recently that in the future they are going to have a social credit system, and people who are watching or looking at the wrong kind of website or internet site, they are going to be they're going to be penalised in some way, or they're going to be receive demerit for looking at the wrong kind of sites online. I mean, how sinister is that?
Or maybe even searching for the wrong terms, like Christine Lagarde corruption trial.
Indeed, yes. But this is the way the world's going. It's becoming about controlling mankind, and it's more sinister than even I can imagine. And I believe that the first step towards controlling mankind is taking away our free speech, and then they want to put technologies into us. And it starts with this technological vaccine. The mRNA vaccine is a technological vaccine. It's Moderna called their vaccine a platform app. Now, I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert on these things. I don't even like technology. But a platform app, is that not what Microsoft Windows is? And what does Microsoft Windows allow you to do? It allows you to upload information remotely and to build something, basically a computer. And that's what they've got in plan for us. They want to build, turn us into another species, essentially. I believe cyborg slave, if you like.
Oh, so hang on. Moderna would say that's poppycock. They'll say, well, actually, these mRNA vaccines do alter the genetic code in people's bodies, but they only do it in a few specific cells in order to generate the spike protein of the COVID virus. And in order to provoke an immune response in your body, and it's actually a much quicker and easier way to get that immune response than to go through the whole long process of producing a vaccine, which is an attenuated version of the real virus. So that's what they will say, that this is the quickest way you can provoke an immune response in your body that's not going to kill you, and therefore awake your immune system to a potentially deadly virus in a way which hopefully won't kill you in the process.
Well, that's what they tell us. But the retired former vice president of Pfizer, Dr. Michael Yeadon, he's stated that this vaccination program is total madness. He says it's unsafe, untrialed, and unnecessary. He actually says there's no pandemic.
It has been trialed. It certainly has been trialed. Maybe not for as long as many other vaccines, and it's under an emergency procedure, but it certainly has been trialed.
Yeah, in the short term, it's been trialed, but no one knows what the long-term effects will be with these vaccines. No one knows what's going to happen in a year or 5 years or 10 years to people. It is basically a massive worldwide experiment. Humanity has been experimented on, and thousands of doctors are standing up and saying this is total madness. The World Doctors Alliance have written a letter to the governments of the world with 87,000 signatures, all doctors, saying that there is no pandemic. They're saying that the COVID-19 is essentially just the flu, and it's been blown out of all proportion for political ends.
But you say essentially the flu. It's not the flu, is it? It's something different. And in fact, if you treat people for COVID as if it was the flu, they're less likely to survive. It's something called SARS, severe advanced respiratory syndrome, I think it's called. It's called SARS-CoV-2. So it's not really quite the same as the flu.
Well, thousands of doctors are saying it is, but I'm not pretending to be anything I'm not. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. But I do feel that there's something sinister going on. And when it's literally hundreds of thousands of doctors and scientists are standing up and saying this is not a pandemic, we are being lied to by the governments of the world and the mainstream media. I take note and I start to think for myself, and the conclusions I come to are essentially what I'm talking about now.
Okay, so you're talking a bit about a scientific analysis, but you're also talking about an emotional analysis. So which is it?
Both, I would say. I'm a spiritual person, so I do meditate and I think deeply about things. But when the issues are so deliberately being confused, sometimes you've just got to go with your gut feeling. And my gut feeling is that we are under attack, and by the governments of the world, and the mainstream media are the propaganda wing of the governments. And of course, the governments are controlled by the elites.
We're quite used with doctors to getting second opinions, but I understand you're not really, you don't believe that we're getting the proper freedom of speech, even for the doctors who most of the time, even if you were going to see your GP, you didn't agree with what they were saying or you had doubts about it, you would expect to go and be able to get a second opinion from a different GP. I understand one of your main things you're talking about here is that you believe there's a real problem right now with free speech.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking for myself and my own experiences, I've been arrested twice in the last 2 weeks for chalking on the ground, sort of anti-lockdown slogans and giving information from doctors and scientists about these vaccines and what have you.
Okay, well, hang on. Because what were you chalking on the ground there?
Things like lockdowns will kill more than the virus. And there are thousands of doctors that are actually saying that.
How do lockdowns kill more people than a virus does?
Well, if you've got people who are unable to work and they're losing their businesses, they're going to become, well, very depressed and also plunged into poverty. They're going to become so depressed, a lot of people are going to commit suicide. A lot of people are unable to get treatments or being diagnosed, unable to get a diagnosis for illnesses and what have you. So a lot of people are unable to get treatments for things like cancer and heart disease, etc., etc. And a lot of these people are being tested with a totally flawed test where many scientists and doctors are saying that something like 90% of the positive tests are false positives. And yet all these people have been tested, and so many people have been are testing positive, and then they're not getting treatments for things like cancer and heart disease, etc., dying, and then they're going down as COVID-19 deaths. And then this is how they're getting the death tally to be so high. I was in Broadmead in Bristol, and I was chuckling on the ground, sort of anti-lockdown slogans and what have you, and the police came up to me after about 10 minutes. I think the super drug shop in Broadmead, who are actually administering the vaccines in a little porter cabin outside their shop, they didn't like the fact that I was quite close to their facility.
So when was this?
This was about 2 weeks ago, and the police came very...
Okay, so we're talking about sort of 20th of January-ish?
Maybe the 25th, something like that, something like that. And the police came very quickly, because, of course, it was a corporation that phoned them, so they come very quickly for the corporations. And they told me that basically I was causing criminal damage by chalking on the ground. And I said, no, that's not the case. So everyone's allowed to chalk on the ground. It's not a criminal, it's not an offence. I said if I was chalking something about climate change or something, or drawing rainbows or, you know, whatever, you wouldn't have an issue. No one would. It's because of what I'm chalking. That's what the issue is. And it's probably because I'm quite close to Superdrug and they don't like it. And they said, well, you know, you have to stop. You're not even exercising. And I said, well, I'm out enjoying the fresh air. I'm walking around, kneeling down and drawing a few things and writing a few things. As far as I'm concerned, that is exercise. And I said, look, there's people sitting around eating their sandwiches on benches. I'm exercising more than they are. And they said, well, we don't accept that. We're cautioning you now. And if you don't leave, we're going to give you a fine. I said, well, I'm not leaving. I'm going to carry on doing what I'm doing. They issued me with a fixed penalty fine. And that was the and then I still refused to leave. And they said, well, we're going to arrest you. And I says, well, do what you have to do, but I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing, because I feel really strongly that these things need to be talked about. So they arrested me. They took me in a car up to the top of Gloucester Road and then said, we're de-arresting you, you can get out. So I jumped out and I walked back into town. But basically, they were just trying to sort of get me away from the centre of town for a few hours. And I think they knew they were on a sticky wicket. But then, a week later, I was...
When you say the top of Gloucester Road, I mean, it's quite a long Gloucester Road. How far?
Up towards the prison.
I saw Filton almost.
Yes, up towards that. Not quite as far as Filton.
Filton, no, sorry. The prison is only Horfield. Kind of Horfield.
Yeah, Horfield, yeah. But it was still a fair walk for me. And I was carrying all my placards and all my stuff, so it was... bit of a pain, but never mind. And then a week later, I was out walking, and every now and again, I'd bend down and write something about lockdowns and vaccines and what have you. But I was walking, but the police came up to me, and they didn't even challenge me. They didn't even warn me. They just said, "You're under arrest for criminal damage." They handcuffed me, took me to the police station in a police station van. I think they call it a sweat box. Took me to Patchway, where they kept me for 7 hours. And then they dropped the criminal damage charge and gave me another fixed penalty fine for breach of COVID restrictions. So that was, in total, I've received 3 fines, totaling £600, and I've been arrested twice. I think it's an abuse of power, and it's about trying to control people and stopping the conversation.
Did you have any discussions with the officers as they're doing this? Because obviously, if they've just arrested you for something that they believe is a serious crime of some sort, then it's a bit peculiar that they're then just either de-arresting you or keeping you in for a few hours and arresting you with no charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. I mean, the guys themselves, the police officers, you know, I've got friends who are police officers. I think most police officers are decent people. Essentially, unfortunately, they're mostly brainwashed, and they believe that they have to do as they're told, and they believe basically that the government have got a right to dictate what people are allowed to say and do, and you know, and that's the way that they're trained, and that's how they think.
Okay, so when you're chalking away, what kind of slogans are you chalking, and are you explaining to people who are reading that, you know, anything, or are you just saying something simple like lockdowns cause more deaths? Just take us through some of your slogans.
I've written things like lockdowns kill. They're usually pretty short slogans, but sometimes I do write something that's much more, you know, it gives a lot more information. You know, sometimes I'll quote doctors, you know, like Dr. Michael Yeadan, who says the vaccination program is total madness. You know, I'm a quite spiritual person. Sometimes I actually speak in spiritual terms, and I sometimes call the vaccine Satan's jab, you know, and it gets people thinking, I guess. But I am a spiritual person, and so some of my slogans are sort of leaning towards that kind of thing, you know.
Do you think that some of those things could be offensive to people?
Well, that's what I've been told. Some people are, and especially when I'm writing in the centre of town, within sort of a short distance of the vaccination centre, or what I call the human experimentation facility. I wrote that as well, the human experimentation facility, with a big arrow pointing towards the super drug porter cabin where they're vaccinating people. And I did get challenged on that, and I was told that was offensive. And I also wrote something about Dr. Mengele, the angel of death. Come and meet Dr. Mengele, the angel of death, and point another arrow pointing towards the porter cabin. And I was told that was offensive. And perhaps it is. You know, I don't feel comfortable about upsetting people. You know, it's not my character, really, to upset people. But I do feel that this is such a sinister time in history. I believe the most momentous time in human history. And never before in human history have we faced being enslaved by technology. And the beginning of this enslavement as far as I'm concerned, is the vaccine. This nanotechnology vaccine, which is called a platform app, which they're going to build on top of, and they're going to turn us essentially into another species, and we're going to be a totally controlled species, and that's the way it appears to me.
Well, there is certainly an element of human genetic engineering involved here, the first time, really. Although we've had designer babies, there have been, and some of these people have been involved, you know, from Gates Foundation, etc., in and the CRISPR technology people, gene editing. But look, you're a Scot. Mm. Do you think that is a different, gives you a different take on things slightly? Well, maybe tell us a bit about where you come from in Scotland.
I come from Aberdeen in Scotland. I left Aberdeen when I was a teenager, and I've still got the accent slightly. I think the Scottish people are slightly different. We tend to get angrier than the English. I guess, if I'm honest, I do get angry sometimes, and maybe that's what sort of motivates me to speak in the centre of town. If I'm absolutely honest, sometimes it is anger at what's happening to the world.
I guess it gets it out of your system, doesn't it? I mean, this is one of the things, I think, where if you feel something very strongly, then, and you don't see it being expressed in public, this is one of the things I've noticed in the developing world, is a lot of it is a lot of propaganda there. They're not getting true journalism, and so you tend to end up with loads of graffiti everywhere. So people just paint up their thoughts up on the streets. So is that something? Is that the kind of thing that's going on there? That it's just a way of getting out of your system, because it can kind of, if you've got big doubts and you believe there's lies out there, it can kind of eat away at you, can't it?
Absolutely, that's part of it, definitely. But it's also about following my conscience, and my conscience is telling me that to speak out, and that's why I got the megaphone, and that's why I stand there on the street and I speak. Sometimes I say to myself, I can't face it today, because it's a stressful thing. When I speak, I quite often get shouted at and shouted down even, and I get called all sorts of names. And
have you ever been threatened?
Oh, yes, I've been threatened. Someone's come up to me and said he's going to headbutt me if I don't effing stop.
So what do you do in that sort of situation?
I try and de-escalate things, because, although I'm a Scot, I could be different, I guess, but I try and be someone who's sort of is kind to people, and that's what I was brought up to be. I was brought up to be a kind person, I guess, and so I try and de-escalate it. And some people come up to me and say, my father's had it and he almost died, or my mother's died, or someone's died, and of course I'm going to be sympathetic and I'm going to be kind to people when they're saying things like that. But I try and be kind to everyone. So, I just try and de-escalate it, and I don't rise to the people that are basically abusing me and is calling me F and this and F and that and you idiot and,
Yeah, but you're not really being kind to them by inferring that they're stupid.
I'm not inferring that anyone's stupid. I do use the word brainwashed a lot, and I do believe that that's what's been happening to society certainly all through my life. I look back at my life now and how I was, the things I was taught in school and the things that they teach you to believe on TV, when you watch TV, it's all about brainwashing us and getting us to conform and comply with their system, I guess.
Well, of course, a lot of the lockdown measures have meant that people are much more reliant on television for their information. They're not allowed to go down the pub and have a chat.
Absolutely, and I think that's the intention. That they've stopped people congregating, even in outside. Certainly, there's no more sitting in the pub and talking about these things. If people have too many people in their homes, they can be arrested and fined. And it's like an anti-human thing that's going on here. And there was a report written in 1956 by Dr. Biederman. And it was describing how American prisoners of war were tortured by the North Koreans in the Korean War. And it described how the American prisoners were forced to wear medical masks all day long. They were put into isolation for periods, taken out of isolation, given treats, which were then taken away from them, put back into isolation, taken out and told to do things that made no sense. And this was described by Dr. Biederman and the United Nations as torture. And that's what they're doing to humanity. And it's about awareness down so that we comply and conform and have the vaccine all the other technologies that they want to give us, basically, and behave ourselves and do as we're told.
Well, you're saying this is unprecedented in the history of humanity, which is quite a big claim, isn't it? We had something quite similar with the Spanish flu around the time of just after the First World War, surely.
Yeah, It's interesting, the Spanish flu pandemic, there are actually scientists. There was a very famous experiment carried out during the Spanish flu pandemic, where they put 100 healthy soldiers into a ward with 100 patients, some of whom were dying with the Spanish flu. And they left them there for a week or so, and not one of those 100 healthy soldiers contracted the flu. Then they got the mucus out of the nose and throat of the dying and unhealthy soldiers and blew it into the nostrils and into the mouth and into the throats of the healthy, and still not one of those 100 healthy soldiers contracted the Spanish flu. And then they actually got the mucus and injected it into the 100 healthy soldiers, and still not one of those healthy soldiers contracted the Spanish flu. And there are thousands of scientists that say that viruses are not even what we're told they are. But like I say, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but it's an interesting fact that that there is actually a massive amount of scientists and doctors that actually refute even the basics of what we're told viruses are.
But what we're trying to get to really is, you know, this pandemic, you're saying, is, and the reaction to it is completely unprecedented in the whole history of humanity.
Definitely, without a doubt. Never before in human history have the healthy ever been quarantined. There's probably a reason for that. It's probably because it doesn't work, and there's absolutely no point to it. And what's the point of destroying the economy? What's the point of making the healthy ill?
To save lives. That's the why. I mean, this is one of the most important arguments that's been made nationally and internationally, is that we've got to just hang the economy for a while because health is more important. People's lives are more important than money.
Well, up until this pandemic, a medical case had to be someone who had symptoms. So then, of course, in this pandemic, even people who are totally asymptomatic can be called a case if they test positive or they have symptoms. But this test that they're using to diagnose COVID-19 doesn't even test for COVID-19. And the inventor of the PCR test, Kerry Mullis, a Nobel Prize winner, he says it is not a diagnostic tool. It should not be used to diagnose viruses. And yet the governments of the world and the health authorities around the world are using it for just that, in order to justify lockdowns.
Well, the World Health Organization have actually said in the end of January something very similar, that that the PCR test becomes less and less and less effective as the virus starts to die out, and that you get a prevalence of the false positives, even can be more false positives than actual correct positive tests. So true positives are swamped by the false positives as the disease dies off. But I just want to bring you back again to, why is this so unprecedented? Why do you think that?
Well, we're literally destroying the economy of the world, you know, and that just doesn't make any sense. There must be another agenda here, and it's not about protecting people. The elites of this world don't care about people. At the moment, 5,000 people are dying every single day from COVID-19 around the world. But up until now, 25,000 people have been dying every day from starvation, and nothing was done about it. And they didn't even talk about it on the media. And yet, now there are 5,000 people are dying every day from a virus, they feel justified in closing down the economy of the world and just plunging millions and millions of people into poverty, which they're probably never going to come out of. You know, there's something else going on here. This isn't about controlling the virus. This is about imposing a new system on creating a new society and changing humanity, essentially.
Well, couldn't that change maybe be a good change? Because certainly we've been rather making a mess of the planet, haven't we, for the last, 50, 60, 70, well, some would say hundreds of years, with the capitalist system the way it is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's partly why they made life so difficult, particularly for the young, over the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, it's impossible for a young person today to feel that they've got a stake in society. It's virtually impossible for a young person to buy a home or to feel that they've got a stake in this society. And I think that's been done deliberately so that there will be an appetite for massive change. I also believe that there's a lot of lies in relation to climate change or man-made climate change. Climate has always changed throughout history, and I believe we're being told lies about man-made climate change in order, again, to justify the massive changes that they're going to impose on society. But, of course, everyone wants a cleaner planet and fairness as far as income is concerned. But if you're going to rip down the system, you want to replace it with something much better, not China on steroids.
You talk about your spiritual beliefs. Do you want to go into that a little bit more? Explain, you know, why you think that there's a spiritual aspect to this, because most people just see it, and it's certainly presented as science, not spiritual.
Yeah, I believe we're in the midst of a mighty spiritual battle between good and evil. I really do believe that, and I think what we're witnessing here is biblical. I'm not a Christian. I actually believe that religion was created to divide humanity. But I am spiritual, and I do believe that we are a creation, and I do believe that we were created by a God, if you like. And I believe what's happening here is basically an attack on the temple of God, mankind, and they're trying to change our DNA. And they want to put technologies into us which are going to control our brain. I urge people to research ID 2020 and the Neuralink system created by Elon Musk. They are literally going to link us up to the 5G smart grid and to AI. I've read the patent for ID 2020, which is a Microsoft system which is going to go into us, and it's going to have all our information in it, and it's going to says that the AI will be able to see through our eyes, hear through our ears, and recognize when our brain is in an alpha state, which is a suggestive state, at which point it can feed us information. This is a definition of total enslavement, the like we've never seen before.
Yeah, but hang on, because you can't just plug a human being into a computer.
Well, not at the moment, but with these technologies that they're patenting right now, and, ID 2020... this is going to sound really conspiratorial, but ID 2020, the patent number, is 02020060606. The mark of the beast, people say. If we accept these technologies, there will be no breaking of these chains, and there'll be no running to the hills like Spartacus. We will be enslaved forevermore. And so that's why I say this is the most momentous time in human history.
No running to the hills like Robin Hood either, or to the forest.
Indeed, yes.
So can you just give us an idea of whereabouts to find some of either your work or some of the websites that you've been looking at, these so-called dangerous websites that that Christine Lagarde would like us to have our social credit score reduced for looking at? It'd be interesting to know what you make of where people can either follow your stuff or some what you think is good research online.
Well, I don't publish anything online. I don't have a channel of any kind or anything like that. I listen to UK Column. I listen to the Corbett Report, which I think is a great. He's a great journalist, James Corbett. I search deeply, and that's what we have to do now, because the Google is so controlled. For instance, the other night I was looking online at population forecasts, and I came across a site called Deagle.com. And Deagle.com is a forecasting site which has been around for 17 or 18 years. It's well known. It's used by the aviation industry and by the military as well as governments. It's a totally legitimate site. And they've done population forecasts for 2025. And these forecasts were made in 2017. And the forecasts for the world are unbelievable, frightening. And in fact, they say that the population of the world will be reduced by 47% by 2025. And the United Kingdom will go down from 66 million down to 14 million in by 2025. The United States of America down from 340 million, I think, down to 99 million.
Now, I'm reminded of a statement by Prince Charles when he opened his new channel in 2020. He's got his own TV channel now, apparently, where he said, we need four planets like Earth in order to survive. Now, that, of course, would, if you had to put the British population onto four planets, you'd be left with around about 15 million people here in Britain. So maybe this Deagle population site is in touch with Prince Charles or on a similar wavelength.
Yeah, I'm a lot of people that I know do say that there is an agenda to reduce the population. I mean, Bill Gates a few months ago described the COVID-19 vaccination program as the final solution. And then 5 years ago in a TED talk, he said, with the right kind of vaccination program, we can reduce the world's population significantly. Now, I ask you, what kind of vaccination program can reduce the world's population significantly? Interestingly, Dr. Michael Yeadon, who I've already mentioned, the former vice president of Pfizer, he has said, as well as being very dangerous, these vaccines, they are also very, it's very possible that they could sterilize 60 to 70% of women and girls. That's Dr. Michael Yeadon. He said that it's very possible that there will be, because the experiments, he says, the experiments on animals suggested that that is very likely. I don't know if the word likely was used, but it's very possible. So that maybe there's a sterilization program going on here. Maybe it's once they've got this technology inside us and inside ourselves and they can upload information into us, what's to say they can't just kill us?
What do you say to people who shout at you in the street and call you paranoid?
I try and smile and be kind. I don't rise to it. I'm compelled by my conscience and I feel... No one likes to be ridiculed and called names, and sometimes I do get stressed by it. But most of the time, I just focus on God, I guess, and the belief that I'm I have to do this because God's directing me, if you like, to do it. And I don't even feel comfortable saying things like that, because that just isn't me. I'm not a religious person.
Artie Innes, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.